Stephen Brett, when I walk up Queen's Road, I can find a pub to my left before Brighton Station. I can walk through some doors that will take me into what looks like a pub. And then I can find a door that's actually, I think it's got a glass, part glass, part wooden aspect to it. And then I walk up some narrow stairs. And what do I enter?
A world of beyond your imagination. You enter what was previously, if you're going around a few corners, the old Victorian dining room of the coach house that was the Grand Central in its previous incarnations. And the dining room has been transformed into possibly one of the most beautiful little black box theatres, completely kitted out for an intimate audience of 48 that will present as you wish in whatever formation you would like to see it.
I just want to prod you on some more detail. A beautiful black box. So could we just elaborate on why it's beautiful?
It's beautiful because it had a former function. So we always know there's a fireplace there. The fireplace is still in the space. The windows are all Victorian windows, small hand-blown panels of glass behind. And it's asymmetrical. So it doesn't feel manufactured. It feels like it is a found space that has been transformed into something that exists within a contemporary context. It's capable of being modified and manipulated to suit performers. It's become a performance space, specifically small scale. I mean, you get up close enough to smell, to see, to hear people breathing. You can almost hear their heartbeats. You're that close, and that kind of theatrical experience is rare within that scenario. There are lots of pub theatres, and they're all decorated differently. This one's been set to be neutral, but you can't neutralise a space that has that much history.
So for you, as somebody that, you know, partly was involved in creating that venue when you walked in, this is its reference point isn't the pub downstairs that it's upstairs from. This reference point is a place further back in time.
Absolutely, much further back in time. In fact, you know, as I've mentioned, the fireplace, we can also identify where the old dumbwaiter was. And there's something steeped in it. You know, we joke and laugh about the space itself, that she's an old lady and she has all of her own particular kind of nuances and eccentricities that add to the space. People can't walk in with a show. They have to know how to, or look, spend time to look at the space and understand how it will fit within the space, not the other way around.
Apart from the obvious things of, you know, immediacy and vicinity, what does a small theatre space offer arts makers?
The chance to communicate to their audience in a completely, not in a completely different way. I don't want to use the word unique. It's about communicating to your audience on a personable level. Whilst most performers might not be able to tell you that they could see people individually, the audience will be close enough to see every detail of their costume, of their face, of their makeup, of how they're breathing. And that relationship immediately creates a scenario where there are real people involved. Whether they're playing characters or not is almost irrelevant. They are real people in that space with you at that time. There's none that the fourth wall that we talk about in terms of once you go beyond a proscenium arch and the edge of the stage and then the audience, it doesn't really exist in the same way. It does, but people are close enough that whispers are audible and clear, that breathing is audible and clear, that every tiny action is visible. There's nothing that's not explicit within that space.
You mentioned kind of lots of pub theatres. I've been to one or two up in London where they have been so tightly built that there isn't a creak. They've been so soundproof that there isn't a noise from outside. And there's something clinical about it. So how important is the creakiness of an old building to a piece of theatre?
Oh, it's a tough line, that one, isn't it? Because some people like the idea that their piece exists within a space, but you know we are a space within a city, within a country, and all of the ambient noises contribute to that. And there are a lot of artists who use that and embrace the idea that there are those other parts of life that still exist beyond the walls. And I think that's a really healthy and gorgeous place to be, that there's an acknowledgement that we're in a place experiencing a moment of theatre, but that there is the world beyond that contributes, has always been part of what makes that theatrical experience special.
How do you sustain it?
By supporting the artists who embrace it. I think that's the most crucial part, is that the artists are the ones with an idea, with a concept, with a story, with a message, or none of those things, to present to an audience. And whilst ever they're delving in and finding parts about themselves, about their society, about their community, about their country, about the universe, whatever it is that they're exploring and giving us a different perspective on things. Some will be familiar with, some we won't be so familiar with, and the idea that those artists, as long as they embody and embrace and immerse themselves in that particular space for that particular time, will give something back just by their mere presence. And that inhabitation, if that's a word, is that a word? Inhabitation of that space creates an environment of its own, which is, you know, has to be embraced in some way, shape, or form, whether it's by two or by 48 people.
And as the holder of that space, you know, radiating out from that space right out to the corners of the planet, how do you find the work that comes there, and how does the work find the Nightingale?
By not considering myself the holder of the space. Simply, the space exists and I inhabit that space, and people will come to the space, or they will come to the team who are currently incumbent in the space. And the idea that that it's big, all of that whole conglomeration of spaces, of staff who inhabit and ostensibly run the space, are part of just simply a resource that's then open to people to inhabit, and the people that inhabit it are the audience who come and see things, and the performers who present or create work to inhabit that space, so that there's a cohabitation. I kind of want to move away from the idea of presentation and receiving. If an artist is presenting, then somebody has to receive. And I think the idea of cohabitation actually sort of sits more comfortably in a space like that.
So you're not sitting there poring over a desk and a phone going, oh my God, we've got nothing in for June.
Yes, that's a practicality, but also is part of the space. It needs to be responsive. That we don't have any. We do have things in for June, and they are about artists creating new work that will, you know, in some way, shape, or form, find their place in the world. Whether that's in the Nightingale or elsewhere, is sort of another story.
And how do you ensure that May in Brighton doesn't kind of cannibalise June, July, March and April?
It'll cannibalise June a little bit just by its very nature of the amount of work that it does. But come July, come August, there's the green shoots. It's sort of like, you know, spring in delay, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That spring for a theatrical world in Brighton comes in August and September, and the summer blooming is sort of September, October, November, and so it's not so much that it cannibalizes, it creates a foundation. That's the sort of the digging up of the soil, the fertilization of the soil, and it creates a firm bed on which the next season's work will be founded.
I'm just doing a little bit of gold mining into the memory of Stephen Brett. Since you stepped first into that space, one or two kind of moments where the shiver went down your spine shows that you saw events that happened in that space that you remember.
So, right. My favourites of the Chumleys and the Fanshawes, just the idea that they would come back 20 years later and perform in the same little pub theatre that they did when they were launching, sent a shiver down my spine. Jake Aldershaw doing his intimate messages was a beautiful moment for the space to be transformed into something a little bit different. And really and truly, Adrian Howells in a living room upstairs, you know, with a small intimate audience, creating a space that was special because of his total embracement of another space.
And how do you keep it fresh and not stale?
Talking. It's a big talking place about what is happening, what are the ideas. In a sense, theatre's like philosophy. It's constantly challenging itself and talking itself around. And whilst ever the conversation is happening, then new little sparks happen. And whether they come, and they come from all sorts of surprising angles. It's not just about the youth who are coming through with these new concepts. You know, there are established artists who we've worked with who kind of mine new kind of memories of their own, in actual fact, to contribute to a new piece of work and a new perspective on where they are.
And I know you've said, you know, you're not the holder of the space, but as a final question, if we head back down those little narrow stairs and push through that door, head through the pub, out onto the street, and you turn around because this is your last day, you know, at the Nightingale, 5 years, 10 years, whoever knows, many years from now, how has the Nightingale been influenced or changed by the presence of Stephen Brett?
It's a space for artists. And that artists, I hope that I'll be able to look back and say, within the creation process of a theatrical experience, the artists must sit at the center of that conversation. And I hope that and responding to their needs, and those needs are individual completely, they are different from one artist to the next, or recognized as being that they're not uniform, and there is no one way of doing things, that there are multiple ways of creating a work, there are multiple ways of presenting a work, there are multiple ways of experiencing a work, and that kind of is embedded within the fabric of that building.
From Stephen Brett, from the Nightingale, from the dining room. Thanks very much.